You got a Bible with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. I just pray before we go any further. Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, we pray that we would have hearts that were open to you, Lord God. And Lord, by your spirit, you would speak to us afresh. But Lord, you tell us that your spirit will lead us into all truth. And so, Lord, we rely upon you, Lord God. But also, Lord, we desire to have that heart which is open. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. It's a strange one this time because I was going to preach all of this on Easter Sunday. And as I said to you on Easter Sunday, I had to change things. And I actually preached the last two sections of the sermon on Easter Sunday morning. But I'm going to pick it up where I started. And I will include the last bit. So expect to be here for 2 hours. No, only joking. Matthew 15. I'm going to read some of the scripture to you. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandments of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but whatever comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said to them, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch.'" I've called this sermon Truth or Tradition. And we see here one of the regular discourses that Jesus had with the scribes and the Pharisees. There was always a contention between the two. Recently, we gave thanks for the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and Saviour at Easter time, didn't we? And we came together and we generally have a special service. And almost every church that's up and down the land and in and out the world will celebrate that at that particular time. And I can see that and I understand that. And I've actually come to an understanding of the importance of some things we should be reminded of in a due season. However, like many things that are truly spiritual in significance, the reason and actions of what we do reveal our heart. If we truly mean anything to God, if anything that we say or we come together in that situation, if it means anything to God, it's got to be from our hearts. If we truly make, if it's going to make a genuine difference to us, it needs to be from the heart. We can follow religion all we like, but it won't deal with anything. It won't change us in a positive way anyway. Easter's a time like Christmas, as you'll thoroughly understand, when many will attend church that generally don't attend church. They say C of E, Christmas and Easter, don't they? Because that's a lot of time with a lot of folks. That's the only time they go. Who attend out of tradition or out of sentimentality. They enjoy the moment of ritual, the familiarity associated with these events on the church calendar. Still others come occasionally to church who, for a whole variety of reasons, by force of habit, for the social aspects that's engaged in a church, or even as many that have been brought up in religion, out of guilt. which is a horrible thing, but not out of a heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is sad. The age in which we live lacks true spirituality generally. Yes, you can get mindfulness. How much is that pushed for us? That's the current one, isn't it? And we'll go on a mindfulness course. And we've got to have all this in-the-moment thinking. Yes, you can have spiritualism. Yes, there are a host of New Age activities, all vying for people's attention and usually vying for your money at the same time. But there are few that declare God's word, what it actually has to say. These traditional times of church attendance should be a prime opportunity to spread the gospel. Indeed, every time we come together, it should be an opportunity to spread the truth of the reality that Christ died whilst we were yet sinners, to pay the debt of sin, and for those who repent and put their trust in him and live in according to his word would have an abundant life here and now and look forward to an eternal life in the hereafter. They both go together. Religious traditions have always been the enemy of truth. They're made up of man's ideas, his likes, his fancies, what he thinks should be the way to serve God, and things that don't suit him, they can be disregarded. Matthew 15, quoting Isaiah, puts it this way. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. What good's that going to do you? Jesus, who churches up and down the land are supposed to be following in his footsteps, in his teaching, in discipleship, to replace his teachings with their version of what they think he should be saying, of how they think he should be worshipped, of how they think they should be conducting the church's activity and indeed their lives of those who attend church. Matthew 15 gives some good sound advice. It says this: leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. In other words, let them alone is another translation. Or don't be included. Keep away from it. That's what it's saying. Don't be involved in that, because it's a picture of the blind leading the blind. Now, I suggest to you that if you want to have somebody guide you the direction, that somebody blind isn't necessarily the best one to ask. Now, there might be some blind people who've got that map ingrained in their heads and they could tell you if you ask directions a way to go, and they'd do a very good job of it, but I believe there'd be few and far between. You'd probably be better off asking the dog. But in reality, if we've got our souls at stake in all of this. We've got something very important to take care of, and we need to be sure that what we're doing is following the Lord in the right way, following the word of God. And those, well, we looked at it on Friday in the men's gathering. We're looking at the importance of authority and how that authority feeds us. Who's your authority? I've been watching, I didn't realise it, I could get Netflix. Anyway, I found out, we're looking at The Crown. Anybody come across that? It's a series about the royal family and how the ins and outs, giving you the inside story, really. But it was quite interesting to see the conflict between the humanity and the sinfulness of individuals within the royal family and the conflict that Charles, who is now our king, is head of the church. And at that point in the history, he was about to be head of the church and was wanting to marry Camilla Parker Bowles, as she was at the time. And there's this huge hoo-ha between the Church of England and the royal family of what they wanted and what these guys who were trying to purport to point a spiritual direction, but because their authority was wrong, were in a real dilemma. Whose authority are you under? You see, traditions have been long established as a strategy of the evil one right down the centuries to Israel. You can see it when all the things that they put in place. And as I said, the projection of the difficulty that Jesus had was not from the sinners, not from the ordinary people. It was from the leaders of what was meant to be a spiritual position, but they missed it by a million miles. In the early church, there remains that problem of traditions that have come in that have nothing to do with Scripture, and it remains true in the church today. Now, are all traditions wrong? No. Some things are neither here nor there, not important. But when we start to put them in place of what God said, or how God says we should be behaving, how God says we should be formed, then we need to be following what the Word of God says rather than what the tradition is. The interesting thing in the Catholic Church is, apparently, I'm no Catholic scholar, but what I understand is the Scriptures have as much weight as a tradition. So if they've created a tradition, you can vie one off against the other, which is a very precarious position, isn't it? Let's have a look at a few scriptures as we do, talking about some of these things. Colossians 12, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And here is an important factor, isn't it? That we can have traditions, but they're the basic principles of the world. They're not from God. I have to ask, why have you come? I don't want to put you off coming to church, but what are you here for? There's a reason. There should be a reason, and that reason should be God focused, shouldn't it? And the Word of God centered, and Holy Spirit centered, that things can be spoken to us, that God can bring relationship to us and understanding to us, and relate to us what He wants us to understand. But if it's other things, they get in the way. Basic principles. We're warned continually about these things. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you indeed are not, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your father. You weren't saved by that stuff. So why would you go back to that? Why would we get involved with that? And it's a shame. How many Christians do you see? They start off, they get saved, and somehow get bogged down in all manner of religious activities rather than knowing God. It's sad. Titus 1:14, not heeding to Jewish fables and the commandments of men who turn from the truth. You see, this is the actual first baby steps of a cult. That you turn from the commandments of God to fables of men. They begin to twist the Word of God, use it to their own ends, discover the power they have over people with that, who are gullible enough to take that on board instead of studying the Scripture in the whole. And we mentioned this again on Friday as well, in context, in the whole, and look at the actual what the whole Bible says about something. And yet they then use that against people. You see, being religious holds no sway with God. Indeed, it's been the religious, as I've said already, who have been the greatest enemies of God, portraying a stance of leading people towards Him, yet ever moving in a contrary direction. It's strange, isn't it? And this is the accusation that many unbelievers would level against the church. Well, look at all the wars that's been caused by churches, Christianity, they call it. Well, yeah, I'll say, yeah, but it's not caused by Christianity. It's caused by people posing as Christians. As Darlington nicely put it, it's Fanta in a Coke bottle. It's not the real thing. It's something else. It's got the external appearance of looking right, maybe not with the colour, but it doesn't taste right. And the world says, what's going on here? But if, interestingly enough, if anybody says that to you, then clearly answer them, well, what does the Bible actually say about these conflicts and all these wars and all these problems? And what you'll find is they're contrary to what Christianity teaches. So go back to the book. But then you can then go on and say is, well, how many wars have atheists started? Pol Pot? Yeah. Stalin? Hitler? Look at some of the biggest atrocities. It's not just shoe on one foot, it's shoe on both. We've got to look at a whole picture of stuff. It's just an interesting thought. But the religious holds no sway with God. We don't want to be going in the wrong direction. We don't want to be led by blind guides. We want to be led by the truth of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things that they affirm. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of blindness of heart. It's amazing, isn't it? You do wonder sometimes, how did we get saved? Do you ever think like that? Some people, they've read the Bible from cover to cover, and they say, well, I got nothing. And it's the Spirit of God that brings us into all truth and enlightens His Word to our hearts. And God has brought that revelation to you and I. And that's a miracle. It's a wonder. And so you should say, why me? It is the grace of God. Amen. Speaking of the Jews in 2 Corinthians 3:14, it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted, and in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their hearts. And that's true, isn't it?
It is true.
It's unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is removing the veil from many of the Jewish faith right now and bringing them to salvation.
Hallelujah.
But there needs to be a lot more.
Yes.
There's many that would say, no, Christ is not the Saviour. Christ he is not Christ, they would say, would they? But the veil remains for them. Nevertheless, it goes on to say, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Amen.
You can see. My mum had two cataract operations. Knew some of you might. And if you know anything about cataracts, it's a strange thing. It's like you get this filming in front of where you can see. And so eventually everything becomes opaque and increasingly darker, from what I understand. And they can remove that and you can see perfectly well. It's quite an amazing thing when you think about it. But it's like the veil being taken away, isn't it? That spiritual blindness, that opaqueness, things become clearer. And I know many of you will say, the more I go on, the more I see I need to change. But the closer you get to the light, the more obvious the darkness becomes, doesn't it? We're a work in progress, but it's, thank God our eyes have been opened and that you and I can change. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, no longer is the law written on tablets of stone. It's written on our hearts.
Amen.
We're not bound by rule and regulation. You couldn't create, if you wanted to, you couldn't do it. To list every circumstance, every situation, every thought, every way, all that to put a rule in for everything. You couldn't do it, could you? And if you could, you could never read it or make reference to it, because by the time you got to finding it, the situation and circumstances would have disappeared. They'd have gone. But with the law written on our heart, the Holy Spirit is with us always. in every situation, to everything, to every word, to every person, to everything that we go to, for all circumstance. It's a wonderful thing written on our hearts. There is a change in us, not us to the tradition. Not in words, not in our heads, not in knowledge, but in our hearts that leads to a transformation of our thinking and behaviour, that we become Christ-like. What a privilege. Is that just as I'm thinking that, I'm just thinking about that song, what a privilege to carry everything to the Lord. There's a lot of privileges in our lives as Christians. There's a lot of benefits that we gain. There's a lot of things that are so outstanding. Miraculous is the right word for what God has done in through Christ Jesus in you and I. And he goes on in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, to describe the preaching of the truth. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. The enemy would like you to lose heart. He'd like to remind you of all the bad things that you still are, all the things that you still struggle with, all the things that you got wrong. It drags them up from the past. Got a good dredger job there. He brings it all the muck up. But it says, since we have received mercy. Mercy. We didn't deserve it, but we've received mercy. We do not lose heart. So when it starts to get those temptations in our minds to go that way, don't lose heart, because mercy has been applied to you. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth concerning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. They want to be pleasing to God, not man. Yes. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. You ever talk to some people and you feel like you're hitting your head against a brick wall? Yeah. Don't despair. The Spirit, you were like that at one time, quite possibly. Some of you were, anyway. The God of this age keeps you blind. He wants you blind. He doesn't want you to see. But nevertheless, the sword of the Spirit is able to cut that in two. Able to split that open. Now that truth would penetrate into our very hearts, into our very souls, into our very beings. And hopefully enlighten us. It says, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, that's a good sign, but we, Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of his knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You and I are to be Christ-like. You and I are to be changed. You and I are walking miracles. You might not feel like that some days. You might have a struggle to get out of bed some mornings. But nevertheless, you're still a miracle, because God has done a work in your life. And God will continue to do that work in our life. We need to follow after him. Let's follow the word. Let's put the word of God into practice. Amen?
Amen.
And be that difference in him. Amen. Let's pray.